Wow, man, those were the first three songs from the brand new record Culture Shock Treatment from Round Eye, all the way from Shanghai. And we are, it's an amazing record. It's like a real roller coaster. And we're lucky enough right now to be talking to the singer Chachi all the way from Shanghai. How you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, ni howdy, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's. I got to tell you, this record that we've been listening to on Finn's Revolution tonight has been like an amazing ride, and it is a roller coaster. It's lots of ups and downs throughout, you're swinging all around the place, and it's the whole sound, everything. Tell us a little about how did you guys get together in Shanghai? How did that all happen?
I've been in the mainland for about 11 years now. And when I first got here, I had no real intention of getting involved with the music scene again, because I come from Florida. I was born in Chicago and raised in Florida. And in Florida, I had a band called Libyan Hit Squad for about 10 years. And the last record that we did was a collaboration between us and Greg Ginn of Black Flag. Mm-hmm. And this was when he was doing the Taylor, Texas Corrugators kind of thing. And they were touring with Jam Bang. And so we got friendly with Ginn and did a few dates with him on the southeast leg of his tour in Florida. And we just decided to collaborate, and I had all this material that we didn't release. So I decided to form a group out here in Shanghai to basically finish the record. And we got on so well that we just decided to make a new band. And thus, Round Eye was born.
And everyone's from a different pedigree. Everyone comes from all over the world, right?
Right. On that release, when we first formed, it was me, Jimmy Jack on drums from New York. Mm-hmm. The bassist was Robert Brown, from Florida, who I went to college with. And the sax player was Lewis from Norwich, England.
Right. So you guys are a real mishmash of not only influences, but also, yeah.
It's going to be that way, because Shanghai is such such a cosmopolitan city with a whole smorgasbord of people from all over the place here, you know. And they come and go.
Yeah, and of course, Shanghai's been under some. Obviously, you're certainly not afraid of discussing politics. It's all over the record, but it's
yes,
it's Shanghai. Certainly, it's got to be a tough place to do some of this. Maybe it's not a tough place. Is it tough?
Oh no, it's extremely difficult.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not easy at all.
So, like what kind of restrictions are you finding? Like gig restrictions, recording, moving around. What's going on?
Well, for the foreigner living in China, I guess if you're a foreign artist living in China, your biggest obstacle is going to be the Ministry of Culture. And that's the people that are going to, at every show, no matter how small, you could be playing in a bathroom, you could be playing whatever, and you're still going to have to jump through the hoops of getting what's called a Baopi, which is a foreign registration for the gig, right? And you're going to have to pay about 6,000 kuai, which equals about $1,000. And getting the permission to play. And then you gotta clear that with the province, you gotta clear that with the city, you gotta send them the lyrics, you gotta send them 30-minute videos of you performing those songs that you have on the lyrics. You have to go through all of this. Send your passport, send your visa, send your last entry stamp into the country because of the new COVID rules.
Wow.
And then on top of all that, they're gonna send officers from the Ministry of Culture to make sure that the show is going down appropriately.
Well, at least you have a built-in audience, right?
Mm-hmm. They're all huge fans.
Wow, that is a lot of work and a lot of cost.
Yeah. It is.
So you find this is satisfying when you're doing these kinds of gigs with having to jump through all those hoops?
Oh no, I hate it. I hate it completely. But it's, you know, I really especially hate it because, you know, we tour a lot, and now with COVID in place, we're touring inside the country a lot. And what I'm starting to find out is that the laws that we have here in Shanghai are completely different from the laws that they have over in, say, in Wuhan or in, you know, in Dongbei area, in the northeastern area of China, or especially in Hainan. Like, we just did a small tour of the island south of China called Hainan, right? And everything was going well. We played in Sanya. We played in Wanning. Sanya, this is the south of the island. It's sort of like the Hawaii of China. Mm-hmm. But when we got to Haikou, they sent we arrive there, and they send police officers to our hotel rooms at 2:30 in the morning to check on the foreigners staying at this hotel. And then the next day we get informed by the club that the show's been canceled. And the show has been canceled because we had the proper paperwork for the province, but we didn't have the proper paperwork for the city.
Oh my God.
I know, man. It's insane. But is it satisfying? I mean, when things go well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure once you get on stage, it's you're going along, but it's getting to that point is like a huge amount of work, and it, so many things are up in the air that you can't even, there's no guarantees.
Right. I mean, I always say this to anybody coming into the country, like, if you see a foreign band playing on the stage, more than likely that show is probably technically illegal. So we operate in an area that we refer to as the gray area. You never know whose palm is getting greased or who's, you know, you never know.
Wow. That's a tough hole. So now you guys have been, it's not the same guys that started off though, right? You guys, your membership has changed.
Yes. At this point, it's me and the drummer that are the originals, but a new bass player. Well, not new. He's been playing for 7 years now, for Livio and James on the guitar.
Right. And people do come and go. So I imagine that's a thing to negotiate. But as you said, there's always somebody around, right? It's a cosmopolitan city. Yeah.
Well, and what's great about that is that, yes, they do go, but they don't completely step out of the band, because we do tour outside of the country a lot. We go to Europe and America and whatever. Yeah. And so, for instance, our drummer is going to be moving back to New York in next month. But now when we do New York or USA tours, he'll still come on board and play like the US legs of tours. So he's just not going to be in mainland China anymore.
Right. So you have an international cast of characters to pull from at different times.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool in a way, you know. It's great.
Comes in handy.
Yeah, everybody brings in different aspects too, and you probably play differently with every different musician. So that's another thing that's exciting, sure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So when you guys first got together, you're finishing up a project you had started elsewhere. And you're wrapping it up, and then everyone kind of decided to continue doing what you were doing, right?
Yes. Yep.
And then what was everybody else was as excited as you about this whole thing? Everyone was like into it, and you guys just wanted to stay together, right?
Sure, for sure. I mean, especially once we played the first gig. It was just such a warm response, and a ton of people came out, and it was just, you know, we were starting to see that it was sort of the Wild West playing out here. Like we were kind of making it up as we went along, and building a DIY community out of, you know, very little.
Right.
And at the time the Eastern world of rock and roll and the West are kind of divided, you know? So it was nice to be able to bridge a lot of these bands, having the local bands play with the foreign bands and so on and so on. So yeah, everybody was having a good time. So we decided just to keep it going.
Yeah, what's the kind of rock indie punk thing going on in Shanghai besides you know, foreigners?
Oh, for the local world, it's quite large. Actually, it's huge. I mean, last night we were supporting our friends Dirty Fingers, who are like the hometown heroes out here, and it was a, you know, capacity audience. It was 1,000 people, and like the genres that are most popular in China at the moment is, especially when it comes to punk rock, it's mostly post-punk.
Okay.
Like post-punk is the big, big genre with a lot of these guys. With our kind of thing, with rock and roll, not so much. It's actually quite small.
Okay.
Community. But like, you know, you have band, like the post-punk bands, like just last week, there's a band here called Retros, and they've been going for a long time. I remember them 10 years ago. And these guys opened up for Depeche Mode in Europe, and they just played the stadium here. 10,000 people.
Wow.
All going to see a post-punk show.
So there's a huge scene of stuff happening, because people around the world aren't always aware of that. You know, it's a,
right. I wouldn't say it was a scene in the general sense. It's not like the Bay Area or anything where there's like a maximum rock and roll and independent zines like that. And, you know, a very grassroots community. It's not like that, but, there is an audience for sure.
Wow. It's pretty exciting to be part of that, right?
Yeah. It's very difficult because we're foreigners, right? So right. We kind of have to play by a different set of rules than the local guys. But yeah, it's great.
Okay. Have you ever had a gig actually, during a gig actually shut down?
Oh, we've had entire tours shut down.
Okay.
We had I guess the most infamous one was when we were supporting. From time to time, we like to bring friends of ours from, and they could be, you know, legendary bands from the West to come over here and tour with us and play with us. And in this instance, we were playing with a band from the first wave of punk rock in England called The Boys, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're...
Yeah, of course.
So we brought them over to mainland China to do a tour and booked 9 days, we made this kind of pretty lewd poster. You know, it had a... we titled the whole tour The Boys' First Time in China, and we called it that because of the boy. They have a popular song called First Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we gave that theme over to the poster artist. His name's Tony Chung. He lives in Guangzhou. And he's kind of notorious for very lewd and controversial artwork involving women and men and, you know, very suggestive positions, you know, sexually. Anyway, so we gave him that idea. And he comes back at us with a poster depict with a girl in a Young Pioneers like uniform, which is like a Girl Scout uniform.
Yeah.
With her legs spread and blood coming out of her, you know,
right.
her extremities, and in the blood it says the tour dates and it says China's first time, and it was that got us a call pretty quick from the Ministry of Culture, and they sent officers to each one of the bars and closed down each bar in each city.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was a big, big, big splash. And it wasn't the police. This is like, this is very serious. This is basically like an FBI coming at you.
Wow.
And I had a 3-hour meeting with them, and it was awful. We all thought we were getting deported.
Wow.
But what's really fucked up is that we continued with the tour anyway. We just moved to bomb shelters, and we told people to leave their phones outside of the bomb shelter, you know, so nobody would, you know, spill the beans, you know.
Wow.
And we did it, and Vice came out. They did a small segment on it. It was great. We snatched victory from the jaws of defeat on that one.
Wow. Yeah. I have to tell
so,
you.
Yeah.
Now,
to answer your question. Yeah. It definitely happens.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, as an outsider, this just sounds like wild adventure, but in fact, it's like really tedious and really frightening, I'm sure, at certain times.
Yeah. It really can be.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And it's gotten a lot worse with Xi Jinping's ascension. Really lately, especially these days with COVID, things have become a lot more ethnocentric.
Yeah, the last. I mean, we read about it here too, obviously, but the last 2 years, actually, totally. I think it's really clamped down pretty heavy,
yeah.
and it's got to be.
I mean, which is really why we decided to have the theme of this culture shock treatment be so directed towards China. It's, you know, it's become very palpable how crazy things have gotten.
Yeah. This is like really hardcore protest music here we're listening to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot going on.
And of course you did, which is also super cool, and you can, I think you can kind of hear it, is that you have our friend Mr. Watt involved in this project. How'd you get involved with Mike?
Yeah, Watt, we got to know him because our first sax player in the band was Steve McKay, who plays on Funhouse. Oh. He was a stooge.
Yep.
You know, we were really tight with Steve. Every time we played the Bay Area, we always jammed with him, and he would always sit in with us, or he toured China with us, our first tour of China. And he's on our first couple records. And when he passed away, we got in touch with, he got us in touch with Mike, and we just started communicating. And then Mike was, you know, wanted to come out, wanted to see what China was all about. And so we brought him out, and we became really good friends. And then every time we went over to California, if we stopped in Pedro, he would come out to the shows. And just, you know, after a couple of years of just, you know, developing a really cool rapport with him, he offered to produce our next record.
That's great.
And of course we're going to say yeah to that. And it was, you know, we were intimidated as hell, but you know, it's Mike Watt, right? So
it's Mike Watt. That's right. The fact that you had his ear is also a compliment to you guys, which is really great.
Yeah. I mean, he's become such a dear friend to us. He's just an amazing guy. God,
He is an amazing guy. Yes, and he's been on the show a whole bunch of times, and he's quite the character.
Yeah, he's definitely one to spiel for sure.
There's the word. There you go. And how was it working with him? What was the process like?
We basically
everything by mail kind of thing.
No. We went to Pedro. Because we tour quite a lot, and on this one, we made sure that at the beginning of the tour we would kind of leave a week open just to work over in Pedro with him. So we rehearsed everything. We made sure it was all set down. You know, we practiced, and then when we got over there, we went over to Pizzo. Pizzo is, I believe, he's the keyboardist in Watts' other band, the Second Men.
Right.
The organist. So we went over to their new studio, which they call Casa Hanzo, and we were breaking in their new studio, and we spent 3 days recording that, and we just knocked it out. And Watt was really, you know, very free. It was a very free recording, but he told us right, you know, in the beginning that he was gonna basically, you know, take control, right? So we just, you know, we were very open to his suggestions. Mm-hmm. It was very, very, it was a very smooth recording session. I mean, we were ready. We practiced so much for that, you know.
Yeah, and everything was going to be, I would imagine the recording session was pretty fast and furious. And
it was, and he wanted, there was really not a lot of room. Anytime we tried to, like, you know how, like, you want to, like, make sure it's perfect, but he didn't want perfections. He wanted the imperfections, so he wanted to keep what he called the danger in there. So, and I agree. I totally agree. So we had to loosen up and kind of get on that. I'm really appreciative for that experience. Kind of changed the way we looked at it from then on.
Well, it's also a cool way to look at any kind of art, right? Because it's
for sure. Absolutely.
The old axiom of learn your craft, learn the material, and then strip it back is, you know, kind of loosen up after you have it down. Is a great way to work because it frees you up and lets you be open.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You know,
and what's great about that is because we got to see it through his eyes, that we got to see the songs from a very, very different perspective that we didn't really get to see before. It was wonderful, and I'm glad we did that. And after the experience was so nice that he wants to come back whenever, you know, all this shit, this COVID shit just kind of settles down. I know the next record we'll do with him as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's nice.
And yeah, it's a very great relationship with him.
Yeah, he's a good man. And you actually bring a lot of, I don't know what it is about this record specifically, but there's a bit of, you know, Thrash Ahead, Minuteman kind of thing involved in this record. So
which
is nice.
They're definitely an influence. I love that band. I love that label. SST was just such a big thing for me growing up.
Me
all
too.
Of the bands on that label.
Yeah, very cool. So this recording was all done in Pedro, and you knocked it out. And was because of the subject matter? Are you feel you're getting more scrutiny in China?
We were worried about that for months and months and months. So we tried not to release it here. but then when we got to Paper and Plastic and they released it, it came here anyway.
Okay.
So we're getting the shows and people already know the titles of the songs. I was like, oh, well, fuck. So cat's out of the bag.
Right.
But luckily we haven't really, I think what's a huge advantage is that our lyrics are not in Mandarin. So right there, you already kind of dodge a bullet, you know. And I don't know. I always wondered what would happen if we printed the lyrics in Mandarin. But no, so far we haven't had any trouble. You know, knock on wood.
Okay, that's good news. Now, do you speak Mandarin now, or do you understand much?
Yes.
Okay, that's fantastic. And so you can hear Ministry of Culture agents are about, you can understand what they're saying.
Oh yeah, they'll come up to me directly. You know, they won't like sneak around. You know, it's not like a shadow. They'll just be like, "What's up?" You know what I mean? That's it. They'll just come up right up there.
Wow. So we're talking here with the Chachi of Round Eye, and The name itself is very funny for where you are, and I'm sure you're very aware. Brand new record is Culture Shock Treatment, and we're talking with Chachi here on WUSB on Finn's Revolution. And Chachi, we're going to take a quick little break here. We've sure. already heard the first three tunes. What would you like to hear off of the record?
Let's go with The Foreigner.
You got it. Great tune, and we'll be right back with Chachi from Round Eye. Foreigner by Round Eye right here, a great tune on the record, and as I said at the top of this interview, a real roller coaster ride with Round Eye, and absolutely, absolutely exciting, amazing stuff. And we're back with Chachi right now, and I want to talk a little about that tune. I mean, I think we can probably figure out the position it's taking in the song, but talk a little about that song.
The Foreigner.
Yeah.
Well, it's based, I mean, it's the reason I picked that is because we were talking about how all of the scrutiny that we have to go through being foreigners in mainland China, especially now with Xi Jinping and how he's kind of, kind of closing China up to the outside world. So it's basically a song of paranoia about that, illustrating all of those points, the increased security, the facial recognition systems, the re-education camps in Xinjiang, just everything that's kind of come up in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and it's absolutely a big crackdown happening over there, which we do read about and we do see all the time in the States, as you also know. But it's something that not everyone can fully take in and fully relate to unless they're there. And I'm so happy we're talking to you, who's there every day. What's day to day life like? Forget about music for a second. What's day to day life like where you are?
Well, to be honest with you, it's a lot better than probably where you are, because they kind of got COVID under control right away. And I seriously doubt the Chinese death toll numbers that they've projected, what was like a little over 4,000. I think that probably was the number of people that died in one Shaoqiu in Wuhan, which is one apartment compound. Right. I personally believe it's times 100. How many people actually died. The reaction from the first wave of COVID was incredible. When we first started, there's a social platform here called WeChat. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody uses for everything. I pay my bills with WeChat. I check on, cat memes, all this stuff. We do everything on WeChat. And at the time, people like nurses that were working in the hospitals in Wuhan were putting small videos of panic that were quickly being, but you caught them, you saw them in your moments, in your feed, but they were quickly being removed. And the degree of what was happening over there was incredible. I mean, it was fucking scary, to be honest with you. And, but after they got it under control, it really came together. And it wasn't just the governments, doing, of course it was the government's doing, but also the people fell in line. There was never a discussion about whether they should wear masks or not. It didn't turn political like that. It just did it. And, people were locked up. We were all locked up for about a month, so now day-to-day life, everything's back to normal. We played a show with 1,000 people and no social distancing. Nobody was wearing a mask. And COVID numbers, I don't even hear that too much anymore, And day-to-day life, the mask is always on hand, and I have a health QR code that public places like public transport, like airports and maybe a train station would check on. But other than that, no, everything's okay. Everything's normal. I wear a mask on the subway and in any government building or public transportation building.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, that's actually how it kind of is right now in New York. Yeah, we're just in close quarters. We're masked, and so
that's
it's
great to hear, man. Because I know you guys got hit really hard. So
yeah, well, we're a defiant bunch of people. So yeah. Things last a little longer. But it's really pretty much every day I'm on the subway, and it's one of those things where you just are that's what's expected. There's social pressure to do it, and which I think is a good thing, actually, because it's not like the police coming down and twisting your arm.
Right.
So it's something that's happening here every day. So, and despite what people may hear about New Yorkers, as I'm sure you're very well aware, New Yorkers are not the worst people in the world. So there you go.
I think the Shanghainese got you beat.
Well, based on your stories, I think you got it. So where you live right now? Do you live in a community or an apartment, or where you live in a house?
I actually just moved. I used to live in a Shaoqiu, Shaoqiu means like apartment compound.
Okay.
But now I live in a lane house. So I am now back living in old Shanghai. So I'm in, all the Chinese tourists come here and take pictures of the trees. And this is basically the heart of the French Concession. So it's very famous for its canopied English plane trees, you know, and it's quite beautiful. So it's the architecture is German, you know, it looks like little Dutch houses, and yet it's still called the French Gazette. This is where all the colonists were, back in the early 20th century.
Yeah, late 19th, early 20th.
That's... So my building is probably 150 years old.
Wow, that's actually super cool. That's nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is. This is one of my favorite parts of Shanghai.
That's nice. That's really nice. And is it like, they're like standalone houses, yeah?
Yes, but they've been turned into several apartments. So I live on the very first floor.
All right, so it's like a brownstone in Brooklyn, right?
Like 100 years ago, I'm sure it was some Dutch lord that lived in this house.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like a brownstone in Brooklyn. It's just been cut up into apartments.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Very cool. That's super cool. When you have to rehearse and things like that, where do you go? Where do you have a rehearsal location, or do you do stuff? Where do you do stuff?
Right now, we practice in a bomb shelter. There's bomb shelters all over the city. Originally, they were used to hide from the Japanese, right? Wow. During the World War II. And then since then, they've been converted to, rock and roll practice spaces. But now we moved into another one. We actually practice in a very popular dive bar called C's Bar here. It's been around for over 20 years. And it's also underground, which I actually believe it was also a bomb shelter at one point.
Everything,
they're all bomb shelters.
Everything's the next bomb shelter, right?
Right, exactly.
That's also good. The vibe of that's got to be kind of cool, you know? But
yeah, it's just a huge basement, you know?
Yeah.
Many, many quarters.
Yeah, okay. We just mentioned bars. What's the bar scene like in
Oh,
Shanghai?
It's definitely very healthy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of dead livers in this city. It's huge. It's massive. It's not really big for rock and roll bars, right? You're not going to really find too many of those.
Right.
There's two that I frequent here. One's called Spectres and the other's Inferno. And, but other than that, there aren't really very many. The typical bar that you see here for the locals is either going to be like a dice bar where there's just a bunch of locals playing dice games, right? Mm. And, you know, drinking their little tiny cups of beer and baijiu, or a shitty, awful Europe, like trashy disco bar, you know, where they play like this, the worst electronic music you could possibly think of. There's actually quite a huge electronic scene here, like DJ scene.
I can
imagine. Massive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like any big cosmopolitan city, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. So the nightlife here is, it's very healthy.
Okay. healthy or unhealthy, depending on your perspective.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So now that this release is out, first of all, how can people get this release?
Originally, we released it through Paper and Plastic Records digitally. So, mm-hmm. And that's the label owned by Vinny from Less Than Jake. And mm-hmm. they released it on all streaming sites, except I can't remember the reason why he didn't do this, but it was Bandcamp. Bandcamp, we're not on there. I don't know why. I'll ask him next time. But then for the physical release, the vinyl, that is through Sudden Death Records, which was our label for the previous release. So the distribution goes everywhere. So you can pretty much find it in most stores.
Yeah, as I always recommend people going through the artist's labels page, because that way it's a little more scratch in the artist's pocket. And
I like that idea. You can definitely find it at Sudden Death.
We have that link right up on the WUSB website, right under my the Finns Revolution playlist. So that'll be
Excellent.
Right there. And
the Sudden Death one or the Paper and Plastic?
We'll have both of them up there.
Okay, great.
So
they'll both be
there. And it's an exciting thing when, you know, you get to help the artist too, and not just pick it up,
for sure.
Something. So it's always nice to support. And so people can get it that way. So now with all the restrictions currently happening with travel and all those things, what's the future tour schedule look like, or future promotion for this look like for you?
Well, luckily, I mean, from what I could gather about the States, it seems like things are opening up. Most of the, like, we were supposed to be involved with Punk Rock Bowling and Rebellion Festival in England and, and the Fest, but all of that, it's all going to have to wait until 2022. In regards, so we've just been touring nationally. We've just been touring China. And we just came back from Chongqing and Chengdu and Kunming. I mean, we've been all over the country. And I guess for the foreseeable future, we're just going to still be here.
Right.
Unless, because what the thing is, we can leave. We can get out of the country. That's no problem. It's just coming back in, we're going to have to do a 21-day quarantine. And, and 14 of those days are in a hotel that we have to pay for, right? So it's...
talk about a deterrent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's gonna be some time.
Wow. You got to do what you got to do, right? For where you are.
Got to do what you got to do, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the future plans for the next recording? Or are there any?
Go back to Pedro and just keep touring the world once everything goes back to normal. You know?
Hunker down with Watt. It's not the worst way
hunker
to be.
Down with Watt. Casa Hanzo.
That's right.
Go to the rice sack.
Yeah, I have fond memories of some social interactions with Watt, you know, this little Jim Beam going down the pike. Me too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, yeah. If it's brown, it's going down.
So you even have the Wattisms down, don't you?
Oh yeah.
All right. So what do we want to go out with something? But I want to thank you so much for taking time in Shanghai to discuss this new album with us.
And, oh, for sure. Thanks for having me, man. It's
of great. Course. And the podcast for this, once again, will be up tomorrow evening on the Finns Revolution podcast, which you can just Google and you'll find. But, it's been a real pleasure learning a bit about your environment. You know, usually I'm talking to people who are in New York or LA or whatever the case is. Or Nashville.
Sure, sure.
And I'm like, oh, Nashville, what an exotic climate that is. But you're... But you're in Shanghai, so I think you got them beat. So
yeah, a little different.
That's right. So the new record is great. The new record is called Culture Shock Treatment by Round Eye. And we've been talking to Chachi from the band. And a real pleasure to speak with you, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, Finn.
You got it. And what do you want to go out with from the record?
How about a Captain Beefheart cover?
You got it. We're gonna go out with the Captain Beefheart cover, and it's been great to talk to you, and keep rocking.
Circumstances. Oh my God, I can't believe my mind is like totally blanked at that.
That's okay.
Circumstances.
and we're gonna hear Circumstances, and thank you so much for joining us on Finn's Revolution, my friend.
Thanks for having me, man.
You got it.